Thank you for listening to the Pursuit Church podcast. This is more than a podcast. Pursuit Church is a movement to connect to Jesus and make a difference. If you need prayer or would like to financially support our mission, reach out to us online at pursuitchurchsa.com. Now grab your headphones and get ready to dive into this week's message.
I want to ask you a question before I get started. Has there ever been a time in your life when you've got, you know, some kind of situation or something going on and you're really praying about it and you're seeking God's wisdom and you're asking him, God, how do I handle this? What do I do? And you feel like you're not really hearing from him. Has that ever happened to anybody? It's happened to me. Has it ever happened? Okay. So You press into him. You can't figure it out. You don't even think he's speaking to you, right? That's kind of what it feels like, right? Well, I experienced that a while back. You know, I was seeking God about this one particular issue. God, you know, speak to me, show me. And, you know, I don't look for signs. You know, the Bible says don't be looking for signs. You need to pass that at some point, right? But I don't really look for signs and things. But I was getting kind of desperate. I was like, Lord, I need you to speak to me, show me, talk to me. And I was asking him for an answer for this situation, and all the while he was talking to me, y'all. He was talking to me about something else. But I had to listen. And it was like one day he just like, hello, I'm speaking to you. Are you listening? And you know what? The thing he's been talking to me about is opposition. Opposition. And I talked about that a couple of weeks ago. And I shared with you one of the things he showed me was that we're all going to face opposition, right? It's just part of life. And that we're usually going to experience our hardest opposition when we're trying to go next level with God, right? That's when we're really going to have those walls that we head up against. Well, there's another thing about opposition that I truly believe God has been sharing with me, and I want to talk about that today. And that is how we view opposition. How do we see opposition? Let me just pray for us before I get started here. Thank you, Lord, for this day. I thank you, Lord, for the very breath in my lungs. I thank you for waking me up today, God. And I thank you for every single soul present in your house today, from the nursery all the way up through this auditorium. Father, thank you for the people that you've gathered here this morning to hear a touch from you, God, to just have a touch of you. And Lord, I pray that you speak through me. Get me out of the way. There is nothing good in me apart from Jesus. Father, I surrender my mind, my will, my vocal cords, the very breath in my lungs that I know you gave me. I surrender that to you, Lord. Have your way. Speak through me and let all of us be changed from the inside out by the power of your word. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. So, you know, opposition is a word that usually has a negative connotation, right? Like you think of opposition and, you know, you tend to think it's not a good thing. You know, something comes up against you, right? Who likes that? But opposition isn't always a bad thing. We have to change how we see it. When we look at it from a different perspective, we might see that it's not so bad after all. Does anybody in here work out? I know a couple of y'all. Anybody work out in here? That's all right. Hey, you don't get no judgment from me. Well, you know, one of the things that when you're working out, one of the best ways to build strength is through what? Resistance, right? That's why they got them heavy weights, right? Resistance. And, you know, when I had my spinal surgery back in 2020, the surgeon told me, you're going to have to go through PT for about a year to be able to walk again, actually. And I was like, oh, great. Here we go. So I had to do it. And it was hard, y'all. You know, you don't realize how many muscles and stuff you have in your back and exactly what they do, you know, help you function. And I had to go through it. And it was a lot of resistance. So I came here to tell you today, the opposition is not always your enemy. It's not always your enemy. It can be the very thing that propels you into something bigger and better, into your real purpose in life. Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 22. Luke is in the New Testament. Y'all brought y'all's Bibles, right? Y'all always gonna hear me ask y'all that. You gotta have a paper Bible. I'm gonna say it again. You gotta have a paper Bible. I love electronics. I love the internet. Boy, do I love the internet. But you need a paper Bible, because when the internet goes apart, we ain't got no electricity. If you have a paper Bible, you can get the word of God in your spirit. So turn to Luke chapter 22. And I want to look at a man named Judas. Some of y'all may be familiar with him. He was one of the 12 disciples of Jesus, right? And along with the other disciples, Judas had been walking with Jesus for a minute. He heard the sermons. He saw the miracles. Judas was even one of those sent out with the other disciples to heal and to preach in Jesus' name. But something happened along the way. Let's pick up in Luke chapter 22, starting in verse 2. It says, "The chief priests and the teachers of the law were looking for some way to get rid of Jesus, for they were afraid of the people." I'm going to stop right here and tell you why they were afraid of the people. They didn't want the people to revolt against them. Basically, they were afraid of losing the control over the people. What is wrong with this microphone? Devil is a liar. Did y'all get that? They were afraid of the people. Verse 3, "Then Satan entered Judas, called Iscariot, one of the 12. And Judas went to the chief priests and officers of the temple." Thank you. Okay, hopefully this is better. "He went to the chief priests and officers of the temple guard, and discussed with them how he might betray Jesus. Okay, we're going to start over here. Let's just start over here. Starting in verse 3, "Then Satan entered Judas, called Iscariot, one of the 12. And Judas went to the chief priests and officers of the temple guard and discussed with him how he might betray Jesus." Can you imagine? They were delighted and agreed to give him money. He consented and watched for an opportunity to hand Jesus over to them when no crowd was present. What a sneaky little thing. Now, we don't know exactly what made Satan tempt Judas or how he was able to tempt Judas. Maybe it was money. But Judas agreed to sell Jesus out to the very people that he knew wanted to kill Jesus. There wasn't any gray area there. It's not like Judas didn't understand exactly what these religious leaders wanted. No, Judas knew good and well what he was doing. And then get this. As soon as he agrees to betray Jesus, Judas shows up to have Passover dinner with Jesus and the rest of the disciples, y'all. Like nothing. That is next level betrayal, y'all. That is next level betrayal. And if you've ever been betrayed like that, you know exactly how that feels. Here's a guy who was close to Jesus. He was being mentored by Jesus. Jesus was his mentor and his savior. Judas hung out with all the other 11 teaching people about Jesus, and then he does this sketchy stuff? Doesn't sound like much of a friend, does it? I guess it depends on how you look at it. What if I were to tell you this? We might just need a Judas in our lives. You might need a Judas in your life. Judas looked like opposition in some ways. Opposition, by sheer definition, this is opposition. It's something that comes up against us, right? Something that tries to stop us from what we're trying to do, right? And at face value, Judas seemed to want to try to stop what Jesus was doing. Actually, he seemed to succeed at stopping what Jesus was doing, right? What was Jesus doing? He was ministering to people, helping people, healing the sick, preaching the gospel, the good news. But here's something else to think about when it comes to opposition. Opposition is defined through perspective, how you view it. When you look at the last thing that Judas did, on the surface, it was dastardly. It was evil. It was awful. He gave Jesus up to the people who had him killed. However, when you consider what Jesus did in his death, Judas doesn't look like opposition at all. Actually, he was part of the plan. Judas was part of Jesus' plan of salvation for the world. Opposition is defined through perspective. Take Peter, for example. Peter, let's look at Mark chapter 8. We're going to start in verse 31. And it says, Jesus then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law. In other words, Jesus was going to be rejected by the religious folks. He must be killed and after 3 days rise again. Verse 32 says, he spoke plainly about this. There was no doubt, y'all. Jesus wasn't talking in circles. He wasn't talking in parables. No, he had been very clear. The Bible says he spoke plainly about this. And then it says, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. How are you going to rebuke Jesus? Wow. But you think about it, some of the crazy stuff we do. Anyway, verse 33, but when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. And this is what he said, get behind me, Satan. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. Wow. I don't think Peter got up in the morning with the plan of being a speaker for Satan. I don't think that was part of his morning agenda. He just didn't want Jesus to die. Peter loved Jesus. And on the surface, it looked like Peter's heart was in the right place, right? But was it? See, Jesus recognized that Satan was trying to use Peter to keep him from going to the cross, and he wasn't having it. Peter was selfishly thinking about how awful it would be for him for Jesus to die. He loved Jesus. Apparently, he had forgotten about the prophecies of old, the prophecies about the Messiah, and that there would be a Messiah who would come to save the world. Maybe Peter forgot what Isaiah said when he was talking about the Messiah in Isaiah 53, verse 5. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquity, our sin. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds, we are healed. Peter, the disciple that Jesus had renamed to Peter, the Rock, Peter was going to help build the early church, and he straight up opposed Jesus. Judas was part of the plan. So was Peter. Opposition is defined through perspective. So before you start to despise the opposition in your life, ask God to give you a fresh perspective. Opposition isn't always a negative thing. Because you know what? It can be what helps us build a deeper relationship with God. Because you know what? Opposition is an opportunity to learn to forgive. That's my first big point today. Opposition is an opportunity to learn to forgive. Forgiveness is a commandment from God because unforgiveness is powerful and it's dangerous. It's actually one of the worst forms of bondage you can have when you really look at it. It's bondage. Let me tell you why it's so horrible. In Matthew 18, Jesus tells us a story about a man who owed a great debt, right? And it was all forgiven, no questions asked. But when it came time for that guy to forgive a smaller debt that someone owed him, he wasn't going to do it. He refused. So guess what? The guy was handed over to the jailers to be tortured. Torture isn't always physical, y'all. A troubled mind and a troubled heart is torturous. Holding a grudge is heavy on your heart and your mind. It affects your demeanor. It affects your decisions. It affects how you handle some things. And if you've ever held a grudge, you know how that makes you feel. And it's because you're holding on to unforgiveness in your heart. And no matter how hard you try to hide it, you'll have an undertone of anger, bitterness, resentment. And people will eventually pick up on it. You might not know that they notice, but they're going to notice. Scripture says in Luke 6:45 that when you have whatever you have in your heart comes out in how you talk. And you know what? Maybe you're one of those people that can really self-monitor. You just be real self-aware, right? You're monitoring how you act, what you say. You know how to fake it, say all the right things. That's okay. So maybe you can have some unforgiveness in your heart and don't think people are going to notice at first. But let me tell you something. You can't hide that from God. God knows your heart. You know what? Let me just not my notes. I'm going to stop right here. God knows your heart. That's a good thing. Maybe a bad thing, but it's a good thing. Because when you mess up and you didn't really mean to, God knows your heart. He's got grace, mercy, forgiveness. And God knows your heart, and he knows that unforgiveness hinders your relationship with him. That's why he says you've got to let that go. Matthew chapter 6 tells us that we are required to forgive others if we want God to forgive us. God's forgiveness is conditional. His love isn't. God's love is not conditional. But his forgiveness is. It requires repentance. That's a fact. You might not want to hear it this morning, but that's a fact. We can't hold on to grudges and expect to receive the fullness of God's mercy and grace. It doesn't work like that, y'all. So we need to forgive people. And when we come up against opposition, that's a perfect opportunity to learn to forgive. It's not easy sometimes. I really understand that. But if we will change how we view opposition, I believe that'll help us be able to forgive quicker. Jesus came to die for the very people who tortured and killed him, his opposition. But before he took his last breath, what did he do? He forgave them. And he asked his Father to forgive them also. And I believe he was able to do that. And so can we when we remember most of the time your opposition doesn't really understand the impact of what they're doing. Most of the time when people come up against you, they don't really understand exactly the impact of what they're doing. And Jesus said it as he hung on the cross. He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. I mean, let's look at the whole picture here. Jesus wasn't mean. He wasn't out there hurting people. He was healing people. He wasn't a threat to society, but he was a threat to the religious establishment. He was messing with their power, their control. And that filled them with rage and hate. When you face opposition from people, sometimes it's not because you're doing something wrong. It might be that what you're doing is triggering something in them that they can't seem to get a handle on. So you just became a target. I'm going to pause for the cause and let that sink in for a minute. Sometimes when people come up against you, it's because you triggered something in them. It might not have anything to do with you. Opposition is viewed through perspective. Jesus recognized this in his opposition, and that's why he asked God to forgive them. Because they really didn't really know what they were doing. They didn't realize the impact of what they were doing. And when Jesus was able to do that, he gave us an example of how we need to handle our opposition. Now, I have to say something here. Sometimes we struggle with opposition because we think somehow things are supposed to be easy in this life. Sometimes when something comes up against us, we just have a problem with the whole idea of opposition because we think life's supposed to be easy. Who told you that? Because they lied. John chapter 16 tells us straight up, in this world, you're going to face some trouble. Look back over your life and tell me when you didn't ever have some kind of opposition. Or no, better yet, tell me when things were easy. I asked Pastor Bob the other day, babe, tell me a time when life was easy for you. He's like, yeah, never. Life isn't meant to be easy. Think about it. Even when you were born, that whole birthing experience is traumatic and oppositional. Why do you think that baby has to be pushed out? He's opposing it. There was some struggle there. Opposition is part of life, y'all. And you know what is so beautiful about it is that it has so much potential to bring growth in us. If you can remember that, I think it'll help you release people who oppose you. And I'm not saying you can just flip a switch and forget about all the pain or suffering you've endured. I'm not saying that at all. I know what it's like to forgive an abuser. I lived through a horrific life, y'all. Some things were really abusive. So I know it's not easy. In fact, it can seem impossible. But with God, nothing's impossible. Nothing is impossible for God. And when you have the Holy Spirit living in you, God helps you. Let me say this. Forgiveness is not the same as forgetting. I do not like that little saying they say, forgive and forget. Forget what? How are you going to forget something like that? There may be some things that have hurt you so bad that you may never forget. But it only makes it worse when you refuse to forgive. Because here's what happens. You keep playing over and over in your mind what happened. You can't do that because it keeps it fresh. It's like watching a scary movie and expecting not to come out of there scared. Why would you do that? When you keep replaying what happened, it keeps it fresh in your mind and it makes it almost impossible to forgive the person. Look at what Proverbs 23:7 says. It says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. Ask God to give you eyes to see opposition for what it really is, a chance to learn to forgive. And then ask God to help you forgive. You're not alone in this. If you have Jesus in your life, you're not alone in this. You have the Holy Spirit to help you. And I want to say something else about forgiveness. Sometimes we think that we got to feel it to forgive someone. You know, I've had people ask me, you know, Pastor, how do you know if you've forgiven somebody? I don't really feel it. Well, you don't really have to feel it to do it. It's a decision and a choice. It's not a feeling. Forgiveness is not a feeling. You can say, God, I choose and will and I purpose to forgive them. Help me. And you do it. Over and over and over. It's like what the directions on the shampoo bottle says, wash, rinse, repeat. You got to do the same thing sometimes with forgiveness. Just keep on doing it. Just because you don't feel like it doesn't mean you're not doing it. Forgiveness is an act of obedience to God that He will honor, and it brings you closer to Him. You know, if you're a parent and your child is doing what you told them to do, that just makes you feel so happy about it. Like, it just makes you... brings you closer to them, right? I mean, some of y'all parents are just super mom and dad. Y'all love kids no matter what. I don't know if y'all lying or what, but I'm just saying. Sometimes when your kids obey you, it's just like, oh, I'll do what do you want? Whatever you want, baby, you can have. Well, think about it with God. That's my baby's listening to me. He's doing what I asked him to do. It pleases him. Pleases him. The last thing I want to share with you today is this. Opposition is an opportunity to love like Jesus does. Jesus said that the two greatest commandments are to love. Love God, love others. Every time we encounter opposition, it's like a fork in the road. You can choose to love those who oppose you, or you can choose not to. But the only choice that honors and obeys God is to choose to love those who have opposed you. Love your opposition. I want to go back to Luke chapter 22 for just a minute. Look at verse 3 where it says that Satan entered Judas. Satan is constantly trying to get a foot in with us. He's constantly at it. And on this side of heaven, I don't know if he's ever going to stop. He's constantly trying to influence to do wrong things. Things that hurt us, things that hurt others, things that dishonor God. It's called temptation. He's tempting us to do wrong, to disobey God. That's a better way of putting it. We are consistently tempted to disobey God. And this is exactly what happened to Judas. Satan tempted him. Judas fell for it and sold Jesus out for what? 30 pieces of silver. Sometimes when someone's coming for you, opposing you, it could very well be Satan influencing them to do it. Think about it. Some people act wild. Wild. They wild out some people. And short of mental illness, it's usually either an unregenerate heart. In other words, they're not following Jesus. Their heart has not been regenerate. It's an unregenerate heart. Or sometimes someone's being tempted to feed their flesh. So they're doing what makes them feel better in the moment. I'm not saying that all opposition is the devil. I'm not giving him that much credit. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is we have to be able to separate the person from the act. Be able to separate the person from the act. And this is what makes Jesus so amazing. That's what he does. When you belong to him and God's looking at you, he doesn't see the sin. He sees you. Jesus covers it. That's what makes it so amazing. Jesus sees all of humanity as worthy of his love, even when we're at our worst. Take a second and just think about what you're like when you're at your worst. God wouldn't know, but think about it. In that moment, Jesus loves you with an undying love, with a love that pursues, a love that endures, a love that sees you and not what you're doing. And Jesus still loved Judas after he betrayed him. And that's so hard to do sometimes. Right now, in this very moment, there is someone in the mind of Pastor Bob's life who's doing some sketchy stuff. Sketchy stuff. It takes all the Jesus in me to not want to go Houston on him and just, but you know what? It's hard. It's hard to look past what he's doing. And he's really not coming for me. He's coming for Pastor Bob. But that's the same thing as if you're coming for me, right? That's my husband. And I literally have to stop what I'm doing sometimes and just pray. God, you take this. I know you see this. I know you know right. I know you know what's going on. I know you know our hearts. Fix it. Handle it. Draw him into you, Lord. That's my prayer. Sometimes that's what our prayer needs to be for the opposition. Lord, draw them to you. You want to know why Pastor Bob and I really believe that God asked us to plant this church? Because the world needs Jesus. Your opposition needs Jesus. So do we. Supernaturally, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to help you do it. Forgiveness is counterintuitive. It is not natural. And the only way to do it is through the power of the Holy Spirit. Really, truly forgive someone and release them. And what it is you take them off of your hook and you put them on God's hook and let him handle it. It's a supernatural act that's only possible through the power of the Holy Spirit. Look past what someone's doing and see them as a person worthy of your love. And you can do that with the power of the Holy Spirit. Romans 13:8 says this, that we know we owe no one anything but to love them. You don't have to like them, but you need to love them. And you know, this verse actually set me free a long time ago when there were some people in my life that were just like, people, Lord, get them out. Get them out. No, he said, no, boo. You need to love them. That's all you owe them. You don't got to like them. Love them. And the verse is very clear. There will be people you're not going to like, but you can love them by the power of the Holy Spirit. You can look past what they're doing and see them as a person that Jesus went to that cross for also. Jesus told us, us that we're supposed to love others as we love ourselves. So whatever you want done to you, do that to somebody else. Not the bad stuff. I'm sure nobody wants bad stuff to happen to you, right? So whatever you want done to you, do that to others. And what you don't want done to you, don't do it to others. You don't have to feel like loving someone. Love is not a feeling. It is not a feeling. It is an intentional act of obedience to God. It's a decision that comes from a heart that loves God and wants to obey Him. Not a feeling. The Bible says in 1 Peter 4:8 that we are to love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sins. Opposition, they might be sinning in the opposition of you. Love them. It covers it. It covers a multitude of sins. Right before they ate the Passover meal, Jesus washed his disciples' feet. He washed Judas's feet. He washed his disciples' feet. It says in Scripture, he washed the 12. That included Judas. And then in the middle of the meal, Jesus said this. Truly, I tell you, this is Matthew 26, verse 21. This is Jesus talking. He says, truly, I tell you, one of you will betray me. The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. Jesus already knew Judas had betrayed him. When he was washing his feet, he knew Judas had betrayed him. And yet he still loved him. As a matter of fact, it was because of his love for Judas that Jesus went to the cross. He loved Judas so much that he was willing to die for him. Look what Romans 5:8 says. It says, but God shows his love for us in that while we are still sinners, Christ died for us. I don't know if anybody in this room has had somebody sell them out like Judas did to Jesus. And yet Jesus never stopped loving Judas. Opposition is defined through perspective. Don't curse the opposition in your life because it's not always a bad thing. Your Judas is not your enemy. If it teaches you to forgive others and love others the way Jesus does. Opposition might slow you down. It might even keep you from something you wanted to do. But opposition can be the very best thing that ever happened to you. My prayer today is that you will shift your focus and see opposition as an opportunity for something bigger and better in God. An opportunity to forgive and to love on a deeper level so that you will be able to grow and fulfill God's purpose in your life in this generation. Amen. Will you bow your heads, please? Thank you that there are hearts here today that have been able to receive your word. Lord, thank you for good soil that your word falls on, Lord. Hungry hearts who want you, who want to do what you've called them to do. I thank you for that, Lord. And I thank you, Father, for the healing that you're bringing in this morning, in this moment. Healing to broken hearts, hearts that have been betrayed, hearts that have been so abused. Father, I thank you that you bring healing. You bring healing and wholeness. Thank you for that, Lord. You are the healer. You are the great physician. We know that, Lord, and we thank you for that. And Lord, for those that are here today in some kind of battle for whatever it is, whether it's a financial issue they're struggling with, whether it's a battle for sanity, for their sanity, there's so many things coming at them, Lord. I pray that you rise up and go before them and fight their battles for them. You do that. We know that. But Lord, sometimes we don't see it. Father, give us eyes to see that you are a mighty warrior, a mighty king fighting for those you love, and you love every single one of us. And Father, those that don't know you today, let them know that you're fighting for them as well. Lord, draw them into you with bands and cords of love and mercy. Father God, draw them in by the power of your Holy Spirit. Draw all of us, Lord. revelation that when this life ends now, it doesn't end in a dirt nap, Lord, because you have given us the ability to make a choice for Jesus, to live with you for eternity. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the finished work of the cross. Lord, help us all obey you in those moments when we're coming up against opposition and struggle. Father, remember to give us eyes to see the opposition from a different perspective, to see it as an opportunity to come up higher with you, God. Thank you for who you are, Lord. Thank you for who you are. You are worthy of all our love, devotion, affection, and adoration. We love you, God. We praise your holy name in the name of Jesus Christ. If you just stay in this moment, just stay in this moment with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. Anybody here today, and you know, you really don't know Jesus like that. Maybe there was a time, you know, you asked him into your heart and things didn't change for you. And you're thinking, well, did I really do that? You have an opportunity right now to ask Jesus to be the Lord and Savior of your life. You really want to do that. We can't walk through this world and bring anything of value without Jesus. We need Jesus. We need Jesus to save us from ourselves, to save us from eternity without God. But if you want that, if you know in your heart, if you feel something tugging on you right now to receive Jesus, you have an opportunity right now. All you have to do is just a simple prayer. You pray this prayer, you mean it with your whole heart, with every fiber in you, you mean it with your whole heart, and Jesus will come into your heart and save you for eternity. If you want to do that right now, just pray this prayer after me. Believers, if you would pray it as well, all you have to do is say, "Dear Lord, I repent of my sin. I ask you to forgive me. Wash me clean. Come into my heart. Jesus, I make you my Lord and Savior.